Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is Steve, and Steve is joined by two of his favorite people, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Mylon and Steve.
It's great to be with both of you.
Yes.
Well, here's a little shocker that we're so close to the new year that if you give us a gift of any amount in October, we're going to send you the 2021 New Life calendar. Now, the exciting thing about 2021 is that it's not the year 2020, which has been quite a year. We're moving
yes.
on, people.
Are you going to, is the calendar the tragedies of every month?
I think so, okay. Yes. Every month it says, remember how bad it was this time last year, and you write it in. No, it doesn't have that, but you could use it for that. Anyway, it's got a lot of beautiful pictures and all about us and the things that we do, and God's Word is quoted there. And so,
Jill,
yeah.
Jill, is your picture in the calendar for 2021?
For 2021 or 2021.
He
I
said there's a lot of pictures in there, and I just did your
oh,
did your
I,
picture
I have
make
no
it?
Idea. Hey, haven't seen the preview.
Everybody's
so.
I don't think my picture got in there.
Yeah, so
Steve,
know.
How about
your
you?
Picture? No, your picture's there.
Seriously?
Really? Yeah, it's there and it gets in the back, but it's there. You know. All right. Hey, let's go right to the phones today
it's
and
really
talk
small.
With.
I wanted to be Mr. Svetbowari.
Yeah, about the size of a postage stamp. Let's go to Janet, New York, New York, listens and watches on Facebook Live. How you doing there, Janet?
I'm doing well, actually. Friday or Saturday, I can't remember, my husband rented a big van, moved everything out of the house, and moved to another state. I know it's with another woman. We were married for 17 years.
My goodness.
Wow.
Wow.
He met her on a dating site. He's been on dating sites for 30 years. He's been on his porn, yelling, slamming doors,
oh.
rageaholic, alcoholic, marijuana, and a minister. And
oh,
I
my
never
gosh.
Told any, I never told anyone. I didn't tell my family. I didn't tell the members of the church. But they kicked him out because they said something is just not right about this man. So I'm reading Intimate Deceptions right now and it's helping me out.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I'm not sad about this. I fear for the new woman that doesn't know. She doesn't know mm-hmm. what she's in for. I feel for her.
What's the question for us then?
What should I do? Should I get a Christian counselor? Should I do restore? What should I do? I'm not. It hasn't hit me yet, and I'm not sad about it. But it might later.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just work on myself.
Yeah. Sounds like you're relieved.
I am to be yelled and called names for 15, 20 years, slamming doors, not speaking. Oh, it was, but God.
Why didn't you, why didn't, here's two things. Why didn't you tell anyone, and why didn't you get help for yourself in all of that, going through that?
I just depended on God, and he.
No, that's not true.
I want
you to think about this at the break.
I can tell you why.
All right.
My mother went through the same thing, and she didn't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a better answer. You used the God thing. You used the God thing as the excuse to do exactly what your mom did. And so I'm glad you're calling us because we can help you do something different now. And it's never, never too late. All right. I'm glad you called, Janet. Hold on. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we are back, and what I think is really interesting about Janet's call, I think it's more common than most people would realize that a person loses someone, a husband, to death or moving away and divorce, and they feel more relief than sadness, pain, or whatever. Jill, what are you thinking here? How could we help her? And then Mylon, I'd like you to chime in here.
Well, it you know, him running off, in a sense, he did you a favor, Janet, right? He got you out of a bad situation that you didn't feel you could get yourself out of. Mm-hmm. You know, having grown up with a mom who did the same thing, that means you grew up in a household where secrets were kept and where women just bared the burden, right? Alone. Alone.
They were married for 69 years, and she took everything. He had an outside child. I mean, it was anger, rageaholic, everything.
So, sadly, this is very familiar to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though it was, you didn't like it, it was so familiar, it felt like home. And you stayed in it, right?
Mm-hmm. I did. I'm the fifth wife.
Okay. So
that's an interesting piece of information.
Yeah, that is. You know, and whenever you're a subsequent wife, it's always good to do a little research and to look at what happened to the other wives.
I did call a last wife. She told me how awful he treated her, but I married him anyway. He's a charmer. He talked me into marrying him anyway. And we went to a minister counselor who said, you guys will work it out.
So that addresses the first question. Should I go to a Christian counselor? the answer is no. because so many Christian counselors can't help people. They don't help people well. They're really stuck in their own ways of thinking. And sometimes even within our cultures, communities, or denominations, Christians are stuck in ways of thinking.
Okay, but so, clarify that a little bit more.
Well, they give bad advice.
What type of Christian counselor are you talking about?
Well, what I'm talking about, thank you.
And I asked him to please, I said, listen to me. I said, can't you see how he's talking to me? Listen to me. Oh, you guys will work it out.
Well, you're describing a non-trained person who is a minister, but they're not trained. And Jill, you're right.
Sorry.
Well, no, keep it up, because I don't want to mislead anybody. But you're the one that mentioned Christian counselor, and I'm saying we have to qualify Christian counselors by asking the question, what other training do they have? Because Jill and myself and Steve, we wouldn't tell you that you'll work it out and the fifth as a fifth wife. We wouldn't encourage that. Now, you ask a beautiful question at the very beginning. I need to work on me. And this is precisely the point of what needs to happen. Now, Jill wrote a beautiful book called The Secrets Women Keep. And it would be a fantastic idea to stop and ask, what have been my family secrets? Mm-hmm. What keeps me from having an adult voice? Why am I easily sweet-talked into things? Because you have the rest of your life left to be stronger. Jill, talk about that.
Well, and also what I don't want to see happen to you, Janet, is that you go, okay, he was a bad guy, but now Mr. Sweet Talking number two comes along and you go, it'll be different this time.
Mm-hmm.
And that you see another man is the answer for you. And right now, that's not the answer for you.
Mm-hmm.
No,
right?
It isn't. No, it isn't.
I don't want a date.
I don't want it. No.
Well, you need a time, Janet, where you really look back and look at how the past is strongly influencing your present. Right?
Yeah.
And how you are repeating these things that are unhealthy. and that may have been survival techniques back then for your mom, for you, but they're archaic now. They're not serving you well.
And and of course, you're not wanting to date or anything because this is so recent. But then, if you don't do some really good things, you find yourself in a few months, all of a sudden you're lonely, and then somebody pushes that little button that these guys know how to push, you're right back where you were. And that is not what we want to have happen.
So you need a team.
That's why I want to do something now.
Yeah.
I want to work. I need it now.
Yeah,
way to
you
go.
Do. So you need a trained therapist. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Restore would be great because, yes, I think you are underreacting. And so I think that would be good for you to be with other women and to learn about what it means to be in relationship with someone who's acting out. And then you need friends, girlfriends around you. You need
a lot.
I don't have that really. I really don't have
that. Well, that's how you got
a problem. Yeah. That's how you ended up as wife number five.
Okay. Okay.
Because a girlfriend would have said, sweetheart, honey, you can't marry this guy. He's had four wives already. But you didn't have anybody looking out for you like that.
Well, I didn't.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Why didn't you have someone?
I'm going to be very honest with you, not conceited or anything. I've always been the woman who has attracted men when I go out with women, and they stop going out with me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't want to be friends with me because I was always the one who attracted the most. I didn't do anything, didn't dress provocatively or anything.
Okay.
I was always the one.
So you meet with women then. Don't just have friends that you go out with. Get in a support group where you talk about your lives, where you meet at someone's house or at church so there isn't the distraction of people wanting to be seen.
Even the women at church treated me that way, though. So,
But that's okay. But a support group is different, or a small Bible study group, right? Lots of churches have recovery programs. And they have all different kinds of groups, right?
Yeah, I looked up Celebrate Recovery. I couldn't find one in my area, so I didn't, I don't know what. That's why I said, when is Restore coming up?
We'll tell you all about Restore, but we'll tell you about Restore. But if you don't develop this ability to make friends with other women...
Yeah.
And, here's the thing. If you have these friends and then a man comes along and is attracted to you and not to them, you've done this enough for you to not respond to the man because you might lose your friends. And so it's really important that you reach this point. And when we can reach this lack of a need to be fascinating to another person of the opposite sex, that really puts us into a different league. So I'll tell you about Restore. It's coming up, and we'll, I don't know the date, but we'll find out for you offline.
Okay.
But more important than that, here it is. It's November the 14th. You've got to have those relationships, and that's going to be hard for you. I know it's going to be hard. But please, please pursue that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to help you. And you could come join Restore November the 14th. Really sorry for what she's going through. All right, let's go over here to, how about we talk with Tish, Seattle, Washington. And she is one of our app users. Glad that she is. Hi, Tish. How are you today?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great. Thanks
Good.
For taking my call.
How can we help?
Jump right in here.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been dating for about 6 months. Met my boyfriend in college several years ago. We'd been friends, and then when the pandemic hit, he was like, hey, would you date me? And I want to marry you. And I said yes. And then over time, I've been noticing some things. Now, let me qualify that. We have a long-distance relationship. But over time, I started noticing things, and I want to know, here's my question, I want to know how I can encourage him to overcome his fear of counselors and get help for how to deal with his parents in our relationship. And I know that's a loaded question.
Okay, well, how about this? What is it that you are noticing? What is that all about, the noticing part?
That even though he always refers to his parents when he talks about them, I've noticed that he cares too much about what his mom thinks. Mm-hmm. And he's struggling with his emotions and the attachment to her. And I know that it's an enmeshed relationship. I've read all about that. But I want to, I know I have the influence as his girlfriend. I know I have influence in his life, and I want to be intentional, because I hadn't been at first, because I just had no idea until I started researching and talking with my mentor, and just really understanding what in the world's going on. So I want to be intentional and to know, yes.
I need you to promise me something. Will you promise me that you will not marry this man until he has dealt with his mommy?
Yes.
The Bible tells us to leave and cleave. And if you think she's over connected to him now, you might think, well, once we're married, you know, that'll change. No, it'll get worse. And guess what? And he's going to compare you to her. And you may do some things that are painful to him, but are helpful to him. But that's not going to be what mommy would do. And mommy's not going to support you either. Because he's going to be telling mommy how unfair you've been with him. You must not get in this relationship. There are about 8 million women who have married thinking it's going to get better, and it doesn't. And here's the really scary thing for you, is he doesn't want to look at it, and he isn't willing to get some counseling for anything. Everybody benefits from counseling. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. You're going into a marriage, and he's saying, no, I don't think I want counseling. Well, once you get married, and he's sealed the deal with you, the likelihood of counseling is going to be even less. So let me turn it over to Jill and Lionel. I just wanted to try to get this out of the way that, man, this is really a big deal.
And I assume he's living with mom.
No, he is not.
Okay.
I set a boundary and said, look, if you want to continue in a relationship with me, you need to move out. And he moved out. It's been about a month, I think, that he's moved out.
Well, so Jill was actually kind of right there. that he, at this age, he's still with mom until you came along and made
so
a demand.
So mom's not going to like you.
No, because you made it look like it was. Yeah. What? She did what?
And she doesn't. No, I know she doesn't. Like, I've had like one conversation, and it was like, "Oh, are you moving? You know, closer to the Midwest?" Because he's in Michigan. And I'm just like, Well, I don't like that question. She's not had a relationship with me, so I understand, Steve, the seriousness of this, and I'm not willing to move forward. The reason he has said that, you know, he would go to a counselor, but he was afraid. And so I'm like, okay, well, you know, what makes you afraid and all of that. And so there is a desire to grow. He has said that, but sometimes his actions aren't matching his talk. And I told him that. I say, I need to see that your actions are matching your
Tish.
Talk. And I know, I can see that he is struggling. And so, I've brought all these things to the table, but it's difficult because it is a long distance.
Right.
Well, okay. I got to tell you are definitely elected caller of the day for what you've said that you've done, and you might be a single dater of the year So we'll give you some help right
yeah,
after this and some encouragement. Really glad that you called. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Talking to Tish, I said that I think Tish might be caller of the day. And Tish, there's some other thoughts here that go deeper, and I'd like you to hear that. And let's start with you, Mylon. How about?
Well, Tish, have you met his family?
Yes, I have.
And how many you said you had one conversation with his mom?
I've had two conversations with his mom over a period of like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you put it all together.
Well, it's a little alarming to me, Tish, that if you're dating and you're 2,000 miles away from each other, approximately, give or take, and you've only talked to the family two or three times, it's concerning that you're telling him to move out and get away from his mom. It's concerning to me that you would feel that you have a relationship that's established with this distance, that he needs to do this and he needs to get into counseling. Something's wrong with him. And that's concerning to me. I don't know. Go ahead.
I want to know why it's concerning to you, but I also context, we were friends in college, and we've been friends for about 8 years. So if that's any,
you've known him a long time.
Well, it does help, but, did he also say to you that he wanted to date you and he also wanted to marry you? That's what you said at the beginning of the call.
Mm-hmm.
Even that is a little premature. Even though you knew each other for a long period of time, the fact that you live very far apart, I would think that you would need to start a new relationship at this distance. But even that you need to be in closer proximity to evaluate whether this is a good choice for a marriage partner.
Right. Dating is different than being friends.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are working to get in the same location. There's just a lot of resistance from his mom and then his own fears. Because he told me that he wanted to be in the same location as me. And he's struggling through all of this. But I don't want to, I told him that he needs to go to counseling. In order to, work through all of this.
Right.
And he said, okay, I will, but I'm, I don't know what to say, or I don't, he just was unsure. And I'm like, well, look, I won't, I just had shared that, there's benefits in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we are working toward being in the same location, because I realize long distance is just not.
Okay, that's good. So Tish, I'm not saying that you are doing things wrongly. I think you have some good points. But what we don't want, this is a guy that has been under the authority of his mom, right? And doesn't feel like he can go against her. It's really frightening for him to kind of stretch his own wings. And what we don't want is for him to transfer that dependence then onto you, where now he's doing everything you say, right? Mm-hmm. And he's not developing his own sense of self and his own voice. So that's why I would encourage the counseling, because he needs to be his own person before he can fully, come together with you.
I think I have mentioned that to him by using my own story of my own freedom from emotional and verbal abuse with my family, and so I shared that story. And so he sees that, I do care too much about, what my parents think.
Okay. So Tish, we're going to have to move on. Here's what I want you to know. Mm-hmm. He needs some help here. It'd be great if you were getting some counseling too, so you had some really professional, great advice, you know. And I think it all begins with two things. I think he needs to be and stay committed to getting the help, but don't agree to marry him or move forward until you guys have been in the same town for a while. And this proximity thing, really, really important. We want the best for you, and it's just, I just don't, I mean, you're not there yet.
So yeah. I have one more thing just to mention here based on what Tish just said. And it has to do with physics. Newton's third law says for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And she was in abusive, verbally abusive, traumatized relationships, traumatized by other people. And she had to extricate herself from an abusive family that was being controlling. And so what can happen is she can end up being overly sensitive to the involvement of his parents just by virtue of her own experience. But that doesn't mean they're the same. It doesn't mean that his parents or his mom are these fearful, ominous people. We don't know what their relationship is to their son. But so, Tish, you can be. I think you're also talking out of your own pain. And it's important to balance that and to understand how strong that is.
Very good. You know, guys like him that go from dependency on mom, dependency on the next person, they have this kind of moment about 10 years or 5 years later. Hey, wait a minute. You know, and what maybe most kids do at 18 or 20, they do at 30. Hey, wait a minute. I've been controlled by women all my life. I don't want that. And then there you are. Really good counseling. Very, very important. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more New Life Live. Glad you're with us.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio, and Larry always comes in with something good for us. Larry, what do you have today?
Steve, Intimacy in Marriage is coming up pretty soon, that workshop, one-day workshop. And I want to encourage folks to sign up. And in doing so, here's a bit of a testimony. My husband and I were going through a tough time. I was done with our marriage after his betrayal. I was looking for a place to move far away from him. I didn't know he had started listening to the New Life Live radio show and heard about this Intimacy and Marriage workshop. My husband asked if I was willing to go with him as our last try. He found out we could get help with a scholarship if I really wanted to go, and I accepted. I've been tearing up since we heard the first speaker, Steve Arterburn. He's awesome and funny and made a lot of sense. Then I heard Mylon and Kay, and I knew I had made the best decision in my marriage. We both realized that we need a lot of help, but we weren't the only ones. Seeing my husband so determined to change and open to the advice of our counselor gave me hope. Now we want to go to all the New Life workshops to continue to grow old together. Thank you, New Life.
Awesome. Just awesome.
So, folks, you need to come to that. If you've got a marriage that's got some bumps in the road, and almost all marriages do, I would really encourage you to sign up for this workshop. It'll make a difference.
You know, Larry, very few marriages are trained well. the people who get married are not trained well to Amen. Be prepared for marriage. Mm-hmm. But what marriage does is it exposes the places where we are weak or undeveloped or where Wounded. We have no skills or where we didn't have that model to us. And so when a lot of people get reactive in their marriages and they think, well, there's something wrong with this other person over here, the other way to think of it is we just need to really go back and let somebody teach us what relationship is really supposed to be like. Because often, even as we've heard on the show today, people pattern their lives after what they grew up with, Jill. Mm-hmm. You know,
they
like,
do.
And they follow the model they lived
That's
with.
That's the default mode.
That is
right,
a default
for everyone.
Absolutely, until there's something new that they are taught to follow. So mm-hmm. Steve does a great job, and we
well, you do a great
try,
job.
Try to keep up with him.
And it's just, you know, when you're not trained well, you become a train wreck, and that's what we're trying to prevent, are those train wrecks in marriages, and it's happening all the time. People that think there's no hope, they find it there.
Stephen, that's why we've asked folks to support New Life financially.
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep doing these things, continue doing what we've been doing for years, and with your help we can do it.
So he asked for a scholarship, and you guys gave it to him.
We did. Yeah, we were tough. I mean, we put them through the ringer.
Well, I think the point is that New Life raises money to give
yep.
away,
mm-hmm. right?
To take advantage of the ministries, and I think that's
Thank
a
you.
Point here that we need to make. This is a very generous organization.
Thank you. And I want to share one other thing before we go, Steve.
Please do.
Lady called just a few days ago, and she said, "I want to leave most of my estate to you." And we had a little bit of a chat, and I said, "Well, how did you learn about New Life?" She said, "Well, in May this year, I was walking in my living room, and in my head, I heard the word Steve Arterburn. And it happened twice, so I went to Google, I went to my dish television, and I looked, searched Steve Arterburn, and up came NRB TV and your program.
Wow.
And I watched your program, and it has made such a change in my life and how I see
wow.
things. I can't believe it." And she said, "The testimonies you read on the radio every day, I know this is where I'm supposed to leave my money. I'm a widow. My husband died a year ago, May, and I have two or three nephews, and I'm not willing to leave much to them because they are not living a life that giving to them would add to God's kingdom."
Hmm.
And she said, "I'll either give you everything or almost everything when I go."
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
All because she got a name, Steve Arterburn,
well,
in her head.
Wow.
That really is.
No, that's bizarre. That's not a common
strange.
Name, Arterburn.
No.
Steve,
right?
Steve, I try to get that name out of my head.
I know that you do. And I'm thinking you may have made up this story just to be able to tell that, to say that out loud. And I'm sure you feel much better now that you've done it.
Here we
All
go
right.
again.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, when
I
type Arterburn, it spell checks to afterburner, you know?
Yeah.
So it even my spell check doesn't know what to do with Arterburn.
Yeah. It's tragic. Well, Larry, thanks for sharing that. And,
wow.
you know, maybe there are other people
yeah.
that you haven't thought about it, but you want to think about that estate or whatever it is. You know, even if it's a $5,000 estate, that's a lot to us. So think about that. It really, we're going to put it to good use, that's for sure.
Thank you very much.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, now let's go help somebody. Let's talk to Faye, Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, Faye. You're on with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
Can you? I want to get some advice on how to deal with my young adult son, who
okay.
has recently been diagnosed with high functioning autism, but he's in denial about it. Very antisocial. Well, he's very uncomfortable around people, so he stays in the house all the time. I'd like for him to be able to function and take care of himself, get a job, or go to school. And we've tried the college thing, and he quit. I'm kind of at a loss right now
how to approach this with
is
him.
Is he, what's his IQ level? Is it high, medium, low?
He's pretty smart. I wouldn't call it really high, but he's much smarter, like in math, than in other areas.
Well, one of the things that, and I'll let Jill address this, but one of the things that a lot of folks like him and like me who have some of this stuff going on is it's a relief to know, hey, this is a thing. It's a real thing. People know about this thing. There's a treatment for it. It can get better versus him thinking that a diagnosis is something to be ashamed of or something that's not a plus. I think it's wonderful that you were willing to go the extra mile to find out what is really going on with this guy. Jill, what are your thoughts here?
And Faye, you're saying that he doesn't want to hear anything about it or he doesn't accept it?
He doesn't accept it. He says there's nothing wrong with him, but he did recently admit that he was depressed.
Okay.
And we took him to the doctor who got him some medication. Mm-hmm. It hasn't even been 2 weeks yet, and I know it takes a while for that to kick in.
Right.
But she also gave a number for a counselor, but he says he's not ready for that.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think, you know, maybe instead of trying to get him to accept a label, maybe you take the approach, well, let's look at the things that are impeding you moving forward in life. Okay, so one is the depression. So good, you went and got some medication for that. What are the other things, right? Okay, he's more of an introvert. Okay, that's okay. But even introverts get out into the world. And
Right?
And does he have any goals for himself? Does he have anything that he imagines about the future? And yet...
He says he wants to go back to college, but... when he did sign up, he only went for like a week and quit.
Okay.
So I think that the being there physically,
the anxiety,
and around others, an unusual environment, is just too much for him.
Okay.
And, you know, and I even suggested online school.
Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, it seems like
and he, hasn't.
He would be a candidate for online school. But no.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you know what? There are therapy groups specifically designed for this kind of young adult, and they're kind of in the form of socialization groups, and they work on skill building and helping to desensitize them to social interactions. Because that is definitely getting in the way of him moving forward. He has these ideas, but he doesn't have the skills to help him accomplish those things. So he, you know, he gets scared and anxious and then avoids. Correct?
Right.
So, it would mean you having to push him a bit and make that, you know, kind of a requirement. Okay, we want to help come alongside you to help you be successful, right? And so we want to help give you the skills because this is where your areas, you know, of weakness are. And they're impeding your areas of strength.
Okay.
I think that's great advice. I hope that that's going to be helpful, Faye. And, you know, we've got some great books, Understanding and Loving, some books. And I'm going to send you a couple of those that I think will help you in understanding and loving him. And there's one about depression, and that's part of it, but he's got some other things too. You're listening to New Life Live. So glad you are. We'll be back and go to Heather right after this message. Stay tuned, please.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here, and really glad that you're with us. Hope that you will look into the intensives that we have coming up, some really great ones. And here's one right here, Intimacy in Marriage, October the 24th. Boy, it is upon us. I can't even believe it. 12 days away, so please come and join us. If you want a little bit better marriage or a lot better marriage, both things happen.
It's a great day, that event. Mm-hmm. I did want to say one more thing off the air with Faye, and that is that it's really important to talk to and learn to teach your son emotional intelligence, to identify his emotions with his various environments. The fact that he could describe himself as depressed, or what does he feel when he hears that he's perhaps on the spectrum of autism, or what did he feel when he went to school for 1 week and then came home? And that a lot of the dialogue, as well as empathy and compassion, well, this would be hard. This is difficult. These are all hard things. And so in the midst of building a plan to move him forward with goals, also some empathy underneath that to say, look, you're not alone, son. A lot of people struggle with these same things. We just want to help you move, but we have empathy that this hurts inside, and it matters to us.
Yeah.
So good. And, you know, people hurt like you, and they get better.
Right.
They get better.
They do.
All right, let's go to Heather, Washington, D.C., WAVA. That's the station. Hi, Heather. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine.
Fine. Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about being fine or not fine, whichever one it actually is.
I'm fine, but yeah, I'm not fine. I am trying to deal with a very close relative, a nephew who's 16 that's diagnosed as having gender dysphoria. I mean, I've read a lot of stuff about it. I'm not. I don't feel like counselors are digging enough to find out what caused that. I think it's kind of like, okay, that's what it is. And so within a week of me finding out, the makeup, the parent figures bought makeup, and then within 10 days, girl clothes. So other people no longer. I didn't get enough, much time to adjust, so I'm working to keep my my words, my speech, my attitude towards him loving.
Okay, so what's the question for us then? How could we help you?
How do I deal with this? How do I approach him? I don't know if I've already said too many things to him that, you know, he doesn't like, but I'm just not comfortable obviously seeing him dressed in girls' clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what to do or say, if anything at all.
And so he knows that you know, right?
Yes, I know from him.
How would it be if you were to say to him, what's going on? I notice you're dressing differently, looking different.
Yeah, we had a little talk, and then he just said, well, I felt like this ever since I was three. And you know, I plan to transition. The counselor told him he has to go through like a year or whatever of therapy, and then he'll be allowed to take medication and so forth.
Well, let's see what, let's start with you, Jill, what you would, if you were her, what you would do, and we'll go from there.
Well, it's a difficult position because, you know, everyone is supporting this in the general population these days. Yeah. Right. I would want to be someone that says, you know, that invites him into conversation. And I would ask him, you know, if he wouldn't mind, you know, can you guys talk from time to time? That, you know, this is something, certainly you didn't grow up in a world where this was the thing to do or where people talked about it. And you really want to understand and hear his thinking about it. And it's such a huge decision at a time before his brain is fully developed, you know, would he mind if you talk to him from time to time? And I would just have conversation, right? And not that you're trying to talk, say, my goal isn't to talk you out of it. My goal is, you know, to, I know that is your goal, but you don't say that. But my goal is that, you know, in making such a huge decision, I would want somebody, if I were making this huge of a decision, I would want somebody to really allow me opportunity to talk it through, you know, and to completely exhaust it. And I know you're going to therapy, but, you know, you're going to therapy with people that perhaps are pro your decision. And, you know, I don't know where I stand in this, but I think a little devil's advocate is something really, really helpful in you becoming your own person.
Mylan, what are your thoughts? What are your? Let's see what Mylan has to say, and then I've got a thought for you here before we go.
Well, Heather, I totally agree with Jill's approach here. It's a question of inquiring, and to say to a 16-year-old something like, "Really, you've been thinking about this since you were three? How many days? How many times a week do you think about this? How much has this made you upset or concerned, or how much do you daydream about this kind of a transition?" And because I want to get to know you, you know, this is the most important thing. Tell me about the journey you've been through. Secondly, I insist with people that are going through transitions, gender transitions, give me time to catch up. You've been thinking about this for a long time. This is brand new to me. So you're still my nephew, and it's going to be hard for me to naturally make that transition quickly. So please be patient. I want to get to know you, but I'm asking you to not be angry with me if I'm not instantaneously conforming with your new wish, which is often inserted upon people and their environment. And if you don't, you're sometimes in the aggressive with some very aggressive people, you're a hater if you don't immediately support it. And I try to help people not to go to that extreme. Just please give me time to catch up with what you're doing here.
I think that's so brilliant.
And so talk to me more about everything, and I need to know more information.
Yeah. And, you know, here's another thing you might say. I know that most of the people around you are really trying to support you, and they may not be saying some things to you that might be important for you to consider. For instance, is anyone saying to you, no one thing changes everything? So once you make this transition, it doesn't change everything. You're still you. And so many times it's important, not that I'm saying this is your big defect, but get help for whatever you're struggling with before you do the transition, because if you do this transition, I think you're going to be disappointed that not everything gets fixed from this. And I just wanted to be sure that somebody was talking to you about things like that, and there are other things like that to be discussed. So important.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
You guys had on your show, I think it was your show earlier this year, a gentleman who transitioned years ago to a woman and transitioned back. And I got to actually make contact with him and speak with him.
Yeah.
And he is so adamant on how this does not work.
Yeah.
And all the pain he went through. I don't know.
Well, I would try to get the two of them on the phone together. That'd be great. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next
time. Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.